Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, let's talk to the Diddy. You know, one of the things we've loved about this season was bringing Ray Dittinger back as a weekly guest on our show, obviously for so many years here on WIP. Then he had retired, and then Ray graciously agreed to be a weekly guest again on our program, and this time it goes all the way up to Super Bowl 59. We welcome him, the legend, Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
Doing good, Joe. How are you doing?
Oh, Ray, I'm so happy. I am so happy. Ray, tell me your thoughts off the top of the Eagles, the performance yesterday, and obviously going to be arriving in Super Bowl 59.
Yeah, I know. It's a great one. You know, there are so many different ways you can look at yesterday's game. I mean, it's the kind of game where Nick Sirianni, when it was over, you know, referred to a total team effort, and it really was.
Yeah.
It really was. I mean, the offense, obviously, you know, 459 yards total offense in a championship game. That's pretty impressive. Working through some injury issues on your offensive line, you know, the defense coming up with all the takeaways, and some big plays on special teams. You know, a couple big returns and good field position, and you know, the special teams forced a takeaway at a key moment that's helped the Eagles open a little space there in the first half. I mean, every phase of the game, the Eagles won. And that's how you win championships.
Yeah,
games, really.
No question.
It's so funny. Watching the game and watching that pitch to Barkley to start the game and him going 60. To start the game, I just had a flashback to Wilbert Montgomery against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I just did. I mean, that's, you know, championship game at home in front of the big crowd, all that electricity. You hand it to your big guy right there. Well, in Wilbert's case, it was the second play of the
game.
That's
right.
In his case, it was the first. But just watching him, you know, we'll all remember the sight of Wilbert bursting through the line and heading it down the open field to the end zone at Veterans Stadium. And when Barkley turned that corner and started opening up the field, I said, my God, this is Wilbert Montgomery all over again.
So I thought the same thing.
You love having good memories like that.
Yeah. Well,
Lord knows we've had enough bad memories, flashbacks to bad things. It's nice to have one that's wonderful.
Well, and I'll give you one just for what it's worth. So Wilbert and Deuce both scored on the second play of an NFC Championship game. And of course,
yeah,
Eagles,
one better than the other.
Yeah, so both went through my mind, but I get your point entirely.
Eagles undefeated,
right,
against the NFC East in championship games.
How about
too?
That?
How about that?
All right, Ray, I thought Jalen was superb yesterday. His performance, what'd you make of it?
Really good. Really, really good. I mean, for all the questions and all the doubts and all the concern and all the angst that surrounded him all week about, you know, how hurt is he, how much is he going to be able to play, how limited might he be. All that stuff. I mean, he went out and he played great. You know, 20 for 28, 246 yards. You know, 110 quarterback rating, which to me doesn't even begin to describe how good he was. You know, throws for one TD, runs for three. He was great. I mean, he really, really was. And you know, that's a big thing. I mean, you're going on to the championship game, and he's going up against, you know, the best of the best, and he's going to have to be. He's going to have to be as good as he was yesterday and then some to win the next game, because he's going up against the best big game quarterback you got in the NFL right now. So he's, you know, the Eagles have been down this road before, and you know, they took on Tom Brady when he was at his peak, and they found a way to win that game. They're going to have to find a way to do it this time. But Hurts was really, really in command. I mean there were a lot of really good plays that he made in that game, but the fourth and four pass to Brown down the sideline was just great. I mean, it's, you know, they're in a quarterback walking the earth that could have thrown that ball any better than he did. I mean, he just dropped it right in the bucket down the sideline, and that was a big play in that game. And, you know, they made a lot of them. And, of course, Saquon is, you know, he's the guy everybody's going to focus on. But you come away from that, I'm coming away from that saying, God, you know, there was, with all the pressure and all the eyes that were on Jalen Hurts and wondering, is he going to be equal to the moment? Well, he was equal to it and then some.
Just incredible performance. The offense overall, I did feel like, Ray, the defense in terms of stopping some of those conversions, the third downs, the fourth down conversions, our defense, did they take a step back against the Commanders? And how concerned are you moving forward about that conversion rate, that situational football, third and fourth down conversions? Did our defense take a step back?
I don't think so, John. I think they just ran into it. You know, that's a hot offense.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, they scored 45 on Detroit last week. So, sure. I mean, that's a hot offense. You weren't going to shut them down. I mean, they were going to make their plays. But in the second half, when you really needed to, you know, they came up with the stops. And the, you know, the turnovers, listen, I mean, we talk about it endlessly, about how big turnovers are in all NFL games, but especially in the postseason. And the giveaway takeaway thing is what swings the balance so often. And never was that true or more true than yesterday when you saw that. I mean, the four takeaways was huge. And if you look at where the Eagles are right now, they're plus 10 giveaway takeaway in the postseason. I'm not talking about the regular season. They're plus 10 in the postseason.
Wow.
I can't remember the last team I saw that had that big of an advantage in the turnovers in just the postseason. And if you go all the way back to the bye week, you know, when things were really sort of on the edge with this team and nobody kind of knew where the season was going, at that point, at the bye week, they were minus six as a team. And since then, they're plus 27.
Wow.
So I think that'll – I mean, there are a lot of reasons and there are a lot of things you could point to about how this team turned it around and the various aspects of this team that turned it around. And you can point to Barkley, of course. That's where most people start. And the defense is number one. That's true. But, I mean, the giveaway takeaway is just huge. I mean, they're taking the ball away at an amazing rate, and the quarterback's protecting it better than anybody. So that's the formula, and now they just got to do it for one more game.
Oren Burks, once again, you know, went out there and made plays. I did not expect that there would be such a legitimate, like, across the board, whoever goes down, the next guy up really is equally, you know, as competitive. Once again, Howie Roseman, Ray, can you speak to the job that he did this year? It might be the best job he's ever done, and it's not that close.
Yeah, I mean, when you factor in all the aspects of roster building with the draft, and then the free agents that he brought in, and then the other thing nobody really talks about, but is really important in the overall scheme of things, is the extending of contracts.
Yep,
you know, extending contracts with existing players who are young and you really have a future and you want to lock them up.
And you're not, and you're not, and you're not stomping on everyone's toes. You know, the way that Howie accomplishes these contracts and re-ups people, it just think about how vastly different it is from a place like Dallas, where it's always consternation and whoa, they're mistreating their guys. Here, it feels like everything gets done and guys like it. You know, Devontae Smith gets the big deal. AJ also has the big deal, and they're good with it. You know, he somehow finesses these relationships to keep everyone happy while assembling the most powerful group of guys ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I don't think anybody would argue the fact that this is the best roster in the NFL, the best top to bottom. I mean, they're that good. And Howie's the guy that built it. I mean, that's for sure. And to your point about Burks, you know, I don't think anybody in town knew who he was, even up to like a month ago. I mean, he was just a sort of a role player. But now, you lose N'Kobe Dean, and now you got to replace him. And it's a pretty big spot.
Yep.
And he goes in there and plays really well. And I remember Seth Joyner telling me one time about the psychology of teams, and especially the psychology of winning teams. And Seth said something. He said, you know, sometimes when a player goes down, a star player, a really good player goes down, and you know you lost him, and now the backup, you know, next man up, he has to step up and play. He says, what will happen very often is that that guy will play way over his head because he doesn't want to let everybody else down. The feeling, you know, when you step in, you understand the responsibility, you understand who you're replacing, and you understand the basic framework of the defense. And a guy who's just an okay guy, will play like way over his head because he doesn't want to let down the other guys on the team. He said, I've seen that over and over and over again. And I think you're seeing it with Burks right now. He's playing really good football.
Ray Dininger with us, as he is every Monday at this time. Ray, let's talk about Sirianni. Curious your perspective, if you can kind of paint the picture of the story of Nick. Now, I know the story is not over. Long way still to go in his career. But I am struck by the last two coaches in Philly sports to win it all were punching bags at various points in their career. And that was Doug and that was Charlie. And Sirianni might be about to make it 3-for-3 in that regard. I marvel at his ability to blend new school concepts like going for it on fourth down and connectivity and that stuff with old school principles like toughness, fighting through adversity, attention to detail and accountability. Can you speak to the Sirianni story?
I think you did a pretty good job of it right there. I think that's, when I look at him, that's kind of what I see. I mean, over the course of this year, I mean, he's made some decisions and done some things that had me shaking my head. I think a lot of people have felt that way. But the one thing that you cannot deny, and this is where winning coaching really begins, is do the players believe in him? You know, I mean, it's not what you are drawing up on the blackboard. It's not what you're saying in front of the meeting room, really. I mean, if the players don't believe what you're saying, if the players don't believe the game plan you're giving them, then it doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's not going to work. It has to start with them believing that this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's going to give us a game plan that we can go out and win with. He understands what we're good at. He also understands what we're not good at. And our game plan is going to be such that we're going to be, no matter who we're going up against, he's going to have us prepared to go out and beat that football team. It really has to start with just that belief in the players that this guy has the map. He has the plan that can get the best out of us and take us where we want to go. And that Nick has that, you know, he's never, at the end of last year, it was fair to question it. At the end of last year, when you saw the way this team just completely bottomed out at the end of last year and then went down to Tampa and just and basically had a no-show in a playoff game in Tampa, there was very real reason to wonder if there was now an irreparable disconnect between him and the players. Because on the outside looking in, it certainly looked that way.
He told us that he was struggling. He told us, hey, if I had answers, I would have, you know, executed those.
Right.
That was a major problem for me at the time.
Yeah, and I think that when you really look back on it, the change at the coordinators was just so huge. I mean, you went from the offensive and defensive staff of last year, which had major problems, and Sirianni was sort of the guy that was left standing there.
But what about that, Ray? What about the fact
that you replace those guys with Moore and Fangio that have been really good? I mean, really, really good in that area. That's an immense help to the head coach because he's got two guys there that he can really lean on.
And I have faith that Vic Fangio, I love the idea that he'll be back. I don't know that Kellen Moore will be back. What about that?
Well,
what
not getting
the,
Dallas means is probably...
He's got a second interview with the Saints in person this week. Yeah.
Okay. What about that, Ray? The fact that, you know, that is problematic. This probably will be another offense next year for everyone to learn. That is a major... That's what holds me back most about Nick.
Well,
yeah. The spot that I thought he was most likely to wind up was Dallas, and now that Dallas has filled that chair,
so
I
that
think
could be that, great that, for us.
It greatly increases the chances that Kellen Moore will be back, and I hope that he is, because I would not want to see them have to start over again with a new offensive coordinator.
Likewise.
Now there's only the one spot open, and that's New Orleans, and that's just a mess. I mean, I know Kellen Moore wants to be a head coach, and I he deserves that opportunity, but I don't know who would take that job. I mean, it's a bad team; they're in salary cap complete disarray. You step in there, I don't know how they're going to get that house in order. I don't think it's a particularly desirable job. You know, if I'm Kellen Moore, I'll just say, you know what, I'll take a pass on this one, and I'll wait for something better in a year from now. Because the Eagles aren't going away. I mean, the Eagles are going to be there for a while, and I think there's every reason to believe that Kellen Moore will still be a hot property a year from now with maybe better opportunities. So I think the likelihood, as you ask me right now, the likelihood, I think he's going to be back here next year, and that's great. You know, that will help everybody.
Ray, let's talk about Super Bowl 59. So 52 certainly had a better ring than 15 and 57. What are your early thoughts on Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl 59?
It's like a movie script. You know, it's like a playwright's dream. I mean, you've got the Eagles, the team with Saquon Barkley, who's been, for whatever else you want to say, I mean, he's been one of the biggest stars in football this year. He's one of the biggest stories of football this year. You know, a guy that left a bad situation and found and turned down more money in other places. I don't know if people realize that. I mean, there were at least three other teams that offered him more money than the Eagles, but he chose the better opportunity over the contract. And because this was where he wanted to go, because this was where he felt he had the best opportunity to achieve success. So, I mean, that's a big story in and of itself. And then on the other side, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs, who have all the star power and are going for something as unprecedented in the Super Bowl era, which is three in a row. And then you got, on top of that, you've got they're being coached by the coach who took the Eagles to a Super Bowl before. So, I mean, there's a million different angles to this, and a lot of young stars that are really coming on. I mean, you've seen, you know, Jalen Carter has now become sort of a marquee name.
Yep.
I mean, you watch the games now, and you see how much they isolate on him and how much they talk about him. I mean, he's become, talked about as maybe the best young defensive lineman in the NFL. So, if you were like casting a movie, this would be a perfect one. This game coming up, because it's just, and because you've just got the, you know, that Philadelphia fan base, and you know, you can just imagine, because I was at Super Bowl 15. I saw what the Philadelphia fans were like on Bourbon Street. take that Philadelphia fan base, that Philadelphia fan passion, and you put it down at Bourbon Street in Super Bowl week. That's a story in itself.
I love it. All right, Ray, final thing. I'm curious, in that vast brain of yours, if you have contemplated yet this possibility. If Mahomes gets hurt during the game, the Eagles will be facing Carson Wentz in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Thought about that.
It's unbelievable.
I thought about that. And the way this thing is playing out, you almost expect it. You know, I mean, there's so many aspects about this game. There's so many, you know, as journalists, we talk about angles on games, you know, the angles in games. And there's a million of them here. And that's one I actually did think about. I mean, how incredibly ironic would this be if something happened to Mahomes? It's not that I'm wishing it,
sure,
but if it did, that Mahomes went down and you had Carson Wentz come in and to play quarterback for the Chiefs against the Eagles. And he's now trying to achieve the history that Patrick Mahomes was
and he'd be the backup that comes in and wins it for, you know, for the team like Nick did for, you know, anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's wild.
It's the Nick Foles scenario all over again.
Wild.
Except Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and he's not going to win the game.
Crazy.
Hey, Ray, we'll talk to you a lot, obviously, in the lead up to the Super Bowl. Thanks so much, my man, for being a huge part of the show today. And we'll talk to you coming up soon. Thanks, Ray.
Okay, take care, Joe.
There he is, the Diddy.
7-5, and they have a risk of giving the Washington Commanders the ball near midfield. I'd rather see them punt, even this early with a 2-point lead. At any rate, that being said, Hurts is in the gun. Two receivers on each side. Back goes Hurts. Here comes the rush. He lets it fly, and it is caught. A.J. Brown inside the 20-yard line.
How do you like me now?
You know, I really thought that was the moment of the game. And I know that's saying something because there were a lot of moments, one of which was Saquon running for a touchdown first play of the game for the Eagles. But my God, I mean, 4th and 5 and just a tremendous pass by Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown down the sideline. Look, Rhea said in the update, you know, sunny. Damn right it's sunny. Sunny in our hearts today. We are feeling real good. And look, congratulations to the Eagles. All right, so let me throw this question out, and then we'll get right back to the phones. So obviously after the Eagles game, there's a lot of different ways you could do whatever you wanted to do. You can run out to the street. You can call a family member. You can cry. You can laugh. You can, you know, anything, everything. Bills Chiefs was the primary what I did. Now, it was that and, you know, coverage post-game to hear what people were saying. But I watched a lot of the Bills Chiefs. I was rooting for Kansas City because I want the Eagles to beat Kansas City. I like that storyline, and I want to see the Eagles win that in the rematch. Rhea, who did you prefer as that game was going on? And I also thought KC would be a little tougher for the Eagles, but I still wanted it to be KC. Rhea, who did you want it to be?
You asked me that last week, and I said 100% I wanted Kansas City. Now, I was rooting for the Bills just because, you know, I was just rooting for them to win. Mm-hmm. But for the Eagles' purposes, I wanted the rematch. Because I want the Eagles to beat them. I said this, and I felt so bad for Glenn Mack now and his dad. I was texting with Glenn last night, and I go, I'm officially sick of the Kansas City Chiefs. Because again, if you were watching that, the refs, I mean, that was not a catch.
And that's a concern for the Super Bowl.
Yes, it's a huge concern.
It's a big concern, the ref thing with the Chiefs.
The Eagles need to make that very clear to the league office.
I agree. James, who did you want in the moment last night?
So the refs thing was what scared me with the Chiefs, a big part of it. And I think the Chiefs are better. Mahomes, Andy, they're better coached. So I wanted the Bills from a win the Super Bowl perspective. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I think it's more fun to go against the Chiefs again. America will be on our side instead of the way around. They would have all been against us if it were Buffalo.
Yeah, that's right.
But also, I just, when I was watching that game, even though it was close, like, I didn't even really consider Buffalo. Like, I was like, the Chiefs are going to win this game. Like, they're just going to win.
Yeah.
I know how this is going to play out. So I was just expecting Eagles Chiefs.
So, John, I was struck by you saying earlier you think the Bills are better than the Chiefs. I didn't.
I thought they were better until I saw that game.
Yeah.
That was, wow, that really shocked me. The fact that the Bills never really seemed to take full advantage of their, potential. It just felt like unrealized potential.
Well, you know what?
At times.
They didn't convert to fourth and ones, and I got to tell you, it is going to be fascinating.
They might have, but
Eagles tush-push against that Chiefs front did a couple times stop Josh Allen.
But Josh Allen's bad at it. I don't know why. It's weird.
Like, I know. He's big, but
he's not. I'm concerned about our tush-pushing also, by the way. We don't
Cam
know
and Dickerson.
How that's going to look with those guys
well,
in
Steen
there.
Well, Steen was in there, and they normally would run to the left with Dickerson and Mulata. So we got to see.
I think it's a huge deal that the Bills would have been America's darling. I do feel good about the fact that everyone will want us to win. I don't know how we will deal with that. Like it's always.
I don't think it matters.
It's always
that's
been
just for
underdogs.
That's
for us. But
we're still underdogs.
I think this team is so.
For now,
I think this team is so locked in. I don't know that any of that stuff impacts this team.
I can't imagine that whatever it is that the Chiefs remain the favorite.
Well, it just opened up a couple hours ago. Because they always win, I'm not that shocked.
Isn't it crazy? Speaking of the Chiefs, yesterday was the first time all season they scored 30 points. Isn't that wild?
That is nuts. They do have a really good defense. All right, let's go to the phones. Your reaction to a thrilling victory by the Eagles in the midst of a thrilling season. One more to go. Coming up shortly here with Jalen, Saquon, and Nick Sirianni, all said postgame. We'll get to that coming up soon. Let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What a freaking morning, man.
Yeah, man.
I'll say.
Big time.
I, lost my freaking mind when Jordan Davis had that sack. I just,
I was watching with our buddy Tommy, neighbor Tommy. I turned to him and said, Ed in Phoenixville is going to be so happy tomorrow when that happened.
But just like that play, or like his stance and like that club move, he was channeling his inner Jalen Carter. Like they're just like feeding off each other.
So, Ed, I got to tell you, the one that I was. I'll use the word entertained by more, was Nolan Smith. I have never, ever seen an edge rusher line up further outside than Nolan Smith did on that play. He was in a cornerback spot.
Yes. He was wide nine plus.
And I was so confused when the ball was about to be snapped. I saw that there was a weird, I'm trying to feel like, who is that? I didn't know who the hell it was. And then obviously it was a technique to use speed to get around the left tackle. And it worked. It was really, I thought it was remarkable.
Well, until the offense you're playing decides to run it inside of you.
But I think it was third and long, so you felt pretty damn confident they weren't going to run it. But I get your point,
Yeah, and just real quick on Jordan Davis. I mean, you know my, you know, just love for the guy.
Yep.
It's hard for me to be objective about him because it's just not to get all sappy, but like he reminds me so much of like my best buddy from college who passed away, and like just his energy, his spirit. So like, I just the fact that I saw him do that, it was just such a wonderful emotional moment yesterday. So. And where that takes him in his career, I don't know, but it just felt great to see that. Yesterday.
No, I hear you. Look, Ed, good call,
man.
Could be
a little
good
boost
call
for him. You know, like the emotional boost he needed.
Best moment of his Eagles career.
A lot of people have been, I've been very down on his ability to get to a quarterback, and that's got to wear on you if you're a young player. You know, people, fans, not having total faith in you. I think that's a great sign.
That was good stuff. It really was. Let's talk to.
And by the way, I do think it reflects his increased physical condition.
Totally.
This year.
I mean, that was a third quarter sack.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Let's give him props for the way that he has kept him. He's maintained his physical condition all year long.
Yeah.
It's the best we've ever seen it. He looks physically different. Almost, I don't want to say slender.
No, he does. He looks way more svelte. Like,
yeah.
He really does. It's noticeable.
Yes, I think so.
And by the way, speaking of conditioning and a certain degree of good luck, also, major credit to Saquon. You know, one of the concerns I had week 3, week 6, week 8, week 12, can they keep leaning on him with this to this extent and not wear him down? Remember, Miles Sanders wore down 2 years ago. He did. And Saquon is like, he's like Superman. I mean, there is no drop-off. He is just, I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing.
We don't have to argue about whether they should have played him the last week of the season anymore.
No.
Well, especially without Dickerson and Juergens, though, yesterday, like any extra rest those guys could have gotten, I think, was valuable.
I also think Washington's 4 straight road games did play a part.
100%
it did.
They ran out of gas.
You don't, like, see it play by play, but I think they were affected by it. You know, it's hard to imagine they weren't. Let's get to Kenny right now. Kenny, what a great morning, buddy.
Go Birds! Wow. And, Jimmy, you just said that that was the first time KC scored 30 in a season. First time we scored 50.
I guess since, I don't know if they did it with Vic on Monday night, probably.
No, since Chip and the Bears. Remember that we're from Philly
Chip
and we
and
fight?
Chip and the Bears. Yep.
We're from Philly and we fight.
Yep, Chip and the Bears.
Oh, man, it was.
That was Chip's top moment, I think, probably.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful day. The sun's shining. It's 85 degrees. It's sunny. I think I'm going to go lay out in the afternoon. It's just, you know, everybody's smiling this morning. You know, I went by the supermarket and everybody's smiling. Went to the gas station, everybody's smiling. My wife woke up this morning and said, good morning. I have to say I'm sorry for the first time in a while. It was just a great day. So, just in a good mood.
Good for you.
All right, Kenny. I love it, man. You going to the game, Kenny? You going to find your way there?
Of course he is.
No, I'm hosting a huge party, man.
Oh,
come on,
wow.
House, everybody.
All right.
Big party in my house. Come on. Everybody's invited.
I love
whole
it.
World. Come
All right.
On.
Kenny, call us again, man, in the lead up to the game. I appreciate
I'm
it.
I'm going to have to eat some.
The whole world is invited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he invited me yesterday. I was like, no, I got to watch it at home.
Yeah, well, he's hardcore, man. All right.
My man Jeff at the Acme, I got to apologize to him on Saturday.
Okay.
He goes, Eagles are going to blow him out. I go, I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm not worried about it at all. At least 14, he said. So he undercut it a little bit, but he wasn't concerned at all.
I was shocked it was this big of a romp. I really didn't. I did not see that coming. In part because the Eagles had so infrequently won in that fashion.
I mean, the Rams game was one of the most stressful games we've ever seen in our lives, you know?
I'm well aware. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. I thought not only a great job by him coaching yesterday, other than kicking the 54-yard field goal, which I thought was lunacy, but
I was okay with it.
I didn't like it. Didn't like it. But anyway, great job. Great job yesterday. Great job this season. And I thought great job post-game, the way he really went out of his way, to prop up Jalen Hurts after the game. Let's listen to Nick at the podium. Or whatever the hell you call it, the stage with Terry Bradshaw, trophy presentation, and here's Nick on Jalen Hurts.
Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Come here. You know, we talked about this game coming in. Neither one of your teams, this team, your team, or Washington, they did not turn the ball over today. You created all 4 turnovers and all scored touchdowns after every one of them. What does that say about your football team?
Yeah, first and foremost, everything good in our life comes from God, so thank God for that.
How about our quarterback?
How about your quarterback?
He's a stud.
He is a stud.
I knew he was going to play that way. I knew it. Don't doubt him. All he does is win.
That was great. I mean, that was, and obviously Jalen totally deserved that yesterday, but it was really nice of Sirianni to go out of his way to say that. That was big time. Let's listen to Jalen after the game. And it took a long time because there was so much celebration going on when they actually got to the regular podium. It was just such a different post-game scenario. Here's Jalen Hurts talking yesterday about Sirianni, but also Jalen broadening it out to his own approach to football. This is interesting stuff.
What it mean to get all that praise from Coach post-game on the stage, and what's it like playing for Coach Sirianni?
Well, he's done a great job. He's done a great job. I guess he let me on my straight jacket a little bit today.
With the offense being largely conservative for most of the year, you use the term straight jacket, but to sort of accept that there's not going to be every game where you're airing it out like that.
It's not about me. It's not about me. And as I said, you know, I don't even play. I don't play the game for any statistical measure. Nothing more than just winning. You play the game to win. I play the game to win. And I think this, in a sense, this game chose me, and this position chose me. You know, and to be able to come this far and have the opportunities in front of us, you just want to take advantage of them. But none of that has been. I've never been motivated by achieving the personal things, the personal goals. All of those things come when you put the work in, have the right mentality, embrace what the group's mission is, and the mission is to win.
That's Jalen Hurts. You know, I'll say this. There are obviously a lot of people, and I've been one of them, with doubts about Jalen. And two things. One, he played phenomenal yesterday. Phenomenal. But two, even when he doesn't, he has personality traits that I think are so admirable with the way he is all about winning. Like, that is the purpose. This is not a numbers game for him. This is not a Joel Embiid, I'm going to go boast and tell you I'm going to do 37 million great things and then only do four of them. Like, he has so many traits that are so admirable. And obviously it's a credit to him and his parents, his family. I mean, he is the kind of guy that, as a Philadelphia sports fan, you're very proud that he represents, obviously in a very big spot, one of our teams. It really is something. 215, go ahead.
So you're now locked in on Jalen Hurts?
Well, so I'm not going to tell you long term. I'll tell you this. He obviously is going to be the quarterback 2 years from now. When I thought earlier in the year, he might not be. Okay, so for sure. But look, he played his best yesterday this season. I hope he can, you know, roll another one of them. Because the challenge
this thought process makes no sense. Like,
what part of what I said?
He is the franchise quarterback.
He is the franchise quarterback. If you're asking me if he's going to be the quarterback 5 years from now, I don't know that. I don't know that.
Okay.
But I totally know.
No one knows that. But okay, well, the fact that he has the ability.
It's in there, of course.
You know what? Of course. History says he's going to win a lot of games over the next 5 years. Because that's what this guy does, man. And it's almost like along the way it gets like cliche-ish. It's like, oh, all he does is win. Like, all this guy does is win. Like, at a certain point, you have to step back and be like, he's a freaking winner, man. He is. Like, the kid is a freaking winner.
I agree with that.
He's the only quarterback in the NFC who's been to two Super Bowls now. The only one in the entire NFC right now. Like, the guy's awesome.
What was that stutter? First guy to lose the Super Bowl and get back since Jim Kelly?
Since Jim Kelly. It was 19 straight times that a quarterback went to the Super Bowl, lost it, they never got back. Jim Kelly's the last one.
That's wild. All right, let's get to...
It's a huge deal.
I know.
The fact that he... Wow. It just, in so many ways... I feel comforted by the fact that he is the guy who will be calling the shots and pulling the trigger. Like, I wish you could get to that point, because it seems like
yesterday was a big step in that regard.
All right,
big step. But let's see the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, it's
I expect the Super Bowl, because I've seen him in the biggest games perform his best. I do expect him to achieve at a high level in this game.
And there's a better team. This team than the last year.
Yeah, but also know this. The Chiefs are a lot better than Washington.
Oh, I agree. I don't think this Chiefs team is as good as the team we lost to in 2022. And I think this Eagles team is better than the team that lost
in
2022.
This Chiefs team feels like they're deficient, comparatively speaking, to that Super Bowl team that we lost to. Now, of course, a lot can change. We can see that the Andy Reid can lift a team in a lot of ways.
His scheming of guys open is
amazing.
It's second to none. When you see guys
underneath open. I mean, he's already put Belichick on alert. We're like, oh, Belichick, best coach ever. Like, alert. Andy is on his way, man.
Andy's going to get the record. He's going to get Shula's record. He really is. All right, by the way, yes. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox. From Armin Chevrolet, together let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who should be the favorite in Super Bowl 59, the Eagles or the Chiefs? Now, it turns out the Chiefs are favorite. Eagles opened up as a point-and-a-half underdog. But who do you think should be favored in the game, the Birds or the Chiefs? Let's get to Ken in Cinnaminson. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Pumped up, my man. Ken. Very excited.
Yeah, well, hey, what's not to be pumped up about, right? So, Joe, you were mentioning earlier how you were having a hard time keeping track because of the numbers of exactly what the differential was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Brady had it as a one-score game going into halftime when it was 27-15. So you're not the only one.
Well, I didn't hear that.
Problem with the match.
Yeah, I thought he was better than normal yesterday. I think he's improving a little bit.
I think you're giving him a lot of credit.
A little bit better.
When they kicked the field goal, he said, they got it down to a one-score game going into the half. They got to feel good about it. And okay. I kind of scratched my head. So I think I texted James somewhere in the third quarter with the throw the damn towel gif from Rocky IV. because it was so obvious. First of all, to me it was obvious all week that they were so much better than this team that I didn't understand why people were worried, other than the natural nerves that we have as Philadelphia fans, because whatever can go wrong will go wrong
Like that was a lot of it, but also Jaden Daniels has shown that he can take his team back. He can pull his team within, you know, reach.
And the other thing I'll say, as great as Eagles have been this year, they have not won many games comfortably. I mean, most games have gone right down to the final 4 minutes, and that's that's nerve wracking.
Yeah, I thought it was funny when Jalen mentioned, take it off my straitjacket.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Yeah. that was great. And I just thought, you know, Jaden Daniels, good player. He's going to be a good player probably for a long time in this league, although, you know, we have seen some regression in the sophomore years. Just look at C.J. Stroud, right? But I thought it was way premature for the people that were coordinating Jaden Daniels as the best quarterback in the NFC after 18 football games in the NFL. And I never had any concern that they were going to lose this game. And
well, I'll say this, though, Ken. They didn't lose because of him. They lost because their defense gave up 5 million yards, and they lost because the ball carriers kept fumbling the ball. I mean, I thought Jaden Daniels was pretty good.
One last thing.
Sure.
My favorite moment post-game was in the post-game press conference, and I don't think you've played it in any of the Sirianni post-game press conference you've played so far.
Yep.
When he went to Mike Sielski to ask his question, and before Sielski even got the question out, he said, "Hey, Mike, I don't have my family with me today." That was the ultimate slap for him writing that stuff about how he was using his kids as a shield after the Cleveland game. I always found that disgusting, and I was glad that Nick took a moment to put that back into perspective.
It was purposeful. There's no doubt. Sirianni definitely wanted to make a point that yesterday, and he did. And we'll probably talk to him about it tomorrow because it was an interesting exchange. Look, I don't think he should have the kids at the podium press conference unless they win the Super Bowl. Yeah. And maybe he'll pull them out.
He should. If they win the Super Bowl, 100%. Damn straight he should. He should be like, yeah, here are my kids.
And one other thing, and I'm going to say this to Brandon Graham when we have him in studio tomorrow, because he's the only guy we talk to that's currently on the team, although Kelsey could get this message to the team, but I hope they do this. You guys know I've been calling for this for a bunch of years. They got to get back to the tradition of when a Super Bowl
lift them up.
When the Super Bowl is won, that the team that wins the Super Bowl lifts the coach up. I thought it was one of the great things about pro football. And you used
Bill
to see it in
Parcells,
college football.
Right? They did it
well,
with
a bunch of guys. Yeah. And I feel like the last time it happened was Mike Holmgren in 96. I could be wrong. I know he got lifted up.
You want them to pick up Andy Reid. That's probably why they stopped it.
Wasn't the last one Jim Schwartz in that regular season game? Remember that?
I don't.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? He won a regular season game. I think it was like the Browns against the Titans or Titans against his old team or something silly like that.
But I'm just like, it was a great tradition. And for some reason, for like a quarter century, it just hasn't happened.
Maybe they got away from it.
And Sirianni deserves it if they win.
Well, maybe they got away from it for like health and injury issues.
Yeah, that's what
I'm Madden got dropped.
That's
so in 77,
right.
When Oakland, but then they kept doing it for 20 more years. Listen,
I don't know
I'm pretty sure
guys hoisting the coach up and wrenching their back.
I'm pretty sure
season's over at
Jalen
that point.
Carter,
that's true.
And you know Jordan Mulata can figure out how to not get injured lifting up Nick Sirianni, and Sirianni deserves it. I'm just telling you,
he deserves to be lifted off the ground
if they win the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, it would be a great moment. All right, speaking of deserves, someone else who deserves, Saquon Barkley, deserves to win the MVP of the NFL. He's not going to. I find it, I don't even know what the word is. It's beyond mind-boggling that somehow he was right there neck and neck with Josh Allen, like week 15, 16.
Apparently he wasn't really right there neck and neck with Josh Allen in week 16.
But the odds switched. They all switched at the very end.
That's the thing. It feels like it was just a joke that they were just going to rip right out from under, a carpet that they ripped right out from under us. He should be the MVP.
If he had broken the record, I think he might have been. Literally not. Here's my point.
What about now? With you add in the playoffs and everything that's occurred. I know, but why doesn't it count?
Well, because it shouldn't. It's a regular season award. I'm just telling you, the voters, they're dumb. I know Josh Allen's great. I know Lamar's great. I don't take that away from them. Saquon should be the MVP, and it's a shame he won't be. Let's listen to Saquon Barkley. After the game yesterday, really happy, but also still very focused. Here is Saquon Barkley post-game with Aaron Andrews.
He told me this season hasn't felt real. How does this feel, Saquon?
I ain't going to lie. I try to downplay it in my head, but it's amazing, man. It's amazing. We're here. Super Bowl. But the goal wasn't just getting there. The goal's to win. And we're going to celebrate and enjoy this. And get right back to work.
Hey, let me talk about the game real quick with you guys. Total team effort, defense, offense, what you guys were able to do after those deep turnovers were forced. What are your thoughts on that? It was all in.
We knew that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a team effort. I'm going to give a shout out to Will Shipley. He came in, finished it strong, but we talked about in the running back room about making plays. Our guy Kenny went down. Will stepped up big for us, but the team came out, man. Everyone came out, made big plays, and got the job done, and that's how you get to the Super Bowl.
And you are going to a Super Bowl. You told me on Friday. I've dreamt about it. I've thought about the confetti. You're going to see your family here in a minute. How does this compare to what you dreamt about?
I always dreamed about it, but the dream wasn't just getting there. The dream was winning it. So that's what the mindset's at.
We'll see you in New Orleans.
Appreciate you.
Tremendous.
You know, there to win it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I love that message.
I'm with you, man. And by the way, someone told me, I didn't know this, Vic Fangio's never won a Super Bowl.
Wow.
I mean, the guy's like 700 years old. And someone told, I mean, I'm joking, but you know, you get my point. He's been around for a long time. Someone told me he's never won. So
it's an unbelievable achievement.
He's a very accomplished coach. I would have thought somewhere along the
block
line
a few times. That's for sure.
So he's got to be really pumped.
Yeah, I'm looking at his resume right now. He's never won.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool, man. All right, and one other thing on Saquon. I'll just say we talked many times 7 years ago about how in the Super Bowl, I believe it was the Corey Clement touchdown, when the other running backs, Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount, came out to celebrate with him. That was the one, right, James?
Yep, totally. Right.
So it was such a great moment. You know,
and earlier in the season when Ajayi scored his first touchdown as an Eagle,
that.
And they ran up to LeGarrette Blount, the first one there.
That was a backfield by committee, and those guys shared, and they shared, you know, they didn't throw tantrums, and they celebrated each other.
And Jay had a reputation when he came here. Like, that's one of the reasons they got rid of him.
Fit in, though.
Yeah, said, oh, he's not a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
He was fine here.
He was great. And those guys celebrated each other and with each other. Saquon running onto the field to celebrate with Will Shipley yesterday and then shouting him out post-game.
Immediately. Pivoted immediately to be like, how about my boy Ship? Like, awesome.
Saquon is, he's a godsend. I mean, I don't know what to say.
He's perfect. Like, he's actually perfect. Like, as a player, as a person, as a athlete, as a whatever you want to say.
We don't
deserve
him, James.
As a father, you see these videos of him and his daughter. Like, it's
cool.
He is perfect.
He didn't want to eat the candy before the game, though. Whatever, or cookie or whatever that was. Like, no. That's a play game. Not gonna put that food in me. All right, let's get your reaction to all this. Reminder, Seth Joyner joins us coming up in about 15 minutes in studio for the 9 o'clock hour. Let's talk to Rick in Easton. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. Couldn't agree with you more. I want Kansas City, and I'll tell you something else. I don't want Mahomes hurt because I don't want to hear the haters with this asterisk that Washington took care of Detroit, the Bills took care of Kansas City. I want their best, and we have to beat their best. How ironic is that we could start our own dynasty at the expense of Andy Reid? It's all about rings, because rings are critical to this city's history. Isn't it funny, real quick?
I think that's reasonable to – Rick, I don't think it's an outsized expectation that we could be in that same – like,
let's win first.
I'm with James.
Let's win first.
I'm
sorry, we have very few rings in our lifetime. Let's win first.
But this is shaping up in such a way – Howie has shaped this up in such a way that – things are set up for the future as well as the present.
But to be fair, we did think that in 2017.
I know.
Like in 2018, entering 2018.
The new normal.
So, yeah, I know. You know, so. But Rick, I like your point, man.
Yeah, a couple things real quick. If you listen to Merrill, I like to see the Eagles punt instead of going for 4th and 5. It reminded me of when he said, I'd like to see the Eagles go for the field goal instead of the Philly special before Merrill's called Philly. But this team, John, you know this as well as everybody. This team, the way they're playing, reminds me of Big Ten football in the 70s and the 90s, running the ball and defense. This team reminds me of two teams. Seltzer and I talked about it earlier. Mm. The Redskins with Riggins and the Hogs, and the Oakland Raiders with Madden and Marcus Allen and Matt Millen and that gang. They won with running the ball, and they won it with defense. And I've talked about this for 3 years, and it's really turned the corner. The Georgia Bulldog defense with that back-to-back championship season right after Alabama, Carter, Davis, Smith, and Dean are so critical. I can't even tell you how important that defense with that nucleus is.
All right, Rick, great phone call on a lot of fronts right there. I like that call a lot.
We have not talked about the team the Georgia connection again, now revisited this whole like interconnectedness. We talk, well, Coach Sirianni talks about connecting between players. The next level of connection, is that what this represents? Because it is unheard of to go and collect a group of guys from the same college.
Well, how about how they were in the draft? They were almost all struggling initially. Nakobe and struggled.
It did feel like that.
Jordan
it took
Davis
them a
struggled
while as a group.
And Nolan Smith.
Yeah,
like it's really
right.
Like Kelee Ringo's been a backup pretty much the whole
he's
time.
He's been a great special
seems
teams.
Seems like a solid
he's
backup. Yeah,
an
solid.
Outstanding
and he's been
contributor
good on special
on
teams.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
It's just taken a while for these guys from the same college group to get it all together. But man, Howie is onto something.
Yeah.
And it feels like this additional layer of connectedness is serving its purpose.
Yeah, and he drafted some Alabama guys also, Jalen and
sure.
Devontae, obviously.
Yeah.
Dickerson.
And Dickerson.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right, man. Let's listen to how it sounded yesterday. Merrill and Mike on the call. We keep switching the music for the Merrill montage because we keep playing it. We want to entertain you with the moments from yesterday's game that really stood out, but we're changing the music hour by hour. Here is how it sounded yesterday on WIP.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
For the ninth time, the Philadelphia Eagles are playing in the NFC Championship game and looking for their fifth trip to the Super Bowl. Hurts under center on the first down. He pitches it out to Barkley. Takes off to the outside. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He's going to go. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 60 yards on his opening touch.
He touched it, and he took it to the house.
Back goes Daniels. He swings it out. He's got Deami Brown, who comes across the fumbles the football, and I think the Eagles have the hit by Cooper DeJean, the fumble recovered by Reed Blankenship. Hurts on first down, feeds Barkley off to the outside. His second touchdown of the game.
Speed.
Fourth down and 5, and I'd rather see them punt even this early with a 2-point lead. Back goes Hurts. Here comes the rush. He lets it fly, and it is caught. A.J. Brown inside the 20-yard line.
How do you like me now?
Ball at the 1. They're pushing. Hurts sneaks, pushing. He's in. Touchdown. Here is Elliott to kick off. It's a line drive bouncing, and it is fielded by McNichols, who comes across the 20, fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. Second turnover of the game.
He got slammed and gave up the football.
Hurts is going to throw. He's back. He fires. He completes it. Touchdown.
That's the matchup
AJ
I like.
Brown.
That's the matchup I like.
On first down, Hurts, quarterback draw. He's at the 5. He is in for the touchdown. Jalen Hurts.
I guess his leg's all right.
Back goes Daniels again. He fires.
I think that ball was caught and fumbled.
It is caught and fumbled.
They lost it again.
Caught and fumbled.
And it's the Eagles' ball.
It is. Third turnover of the game. They line up for the tush push. And the Commanders come across the line of scrimmage and belt them. So they'll gain 6 inches.
Yeah, they don't lose anything, the Commanders, when they do this.
That was Luvu. No Luvu. He's faking. Now there's another flag.
Encroachment. Defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior.
I've never seen that.
I've never heard that either. He takes the snap. He pushes. He shoves. He's in. Touchdown, Eagles!
They got it in easily.
It is 4th and 11. They have to get to the Eagles 49. Daniels back. Looking. Here comes the rush. He's running. They've got him. They sack him. Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith got him back at the 25-yard line. Hurts. He gives it to Barkley. Barkley runs wide. Touchdown. His third of the day.
Be special.
Daniels back one more time. He looks. He pumps. He is going deep, and it is almost intercepted. Incomplete. It is intercepted. It is intercepted. For the second time in 2 weeks, it is Quinyon Mitchell who comes down with the ball. Gives off to Shipley. Shipley at the 45-50, 45-40, 35-30, 15-10-5. Tackled at the 5-yard line, Will Shipley.
Wow. Now you're just pouring it on.
Hand off. Shipley plowing ahead. Touchdown, Will Shipley. He joins the fun, and the Eagles not just beat, but annihilate the Washington Commanders 55-23. Attention, air traffic control. This flock of Eagles is heading to New Orleans.
Well, tremendous job by the Birds, and congratulations to the whole organization. You know, there was so much after the game last night to consume, not just the KC Buffalo game, which was intriguing for all the obvious reasons, but all the stuff on social media. I know a lot of people went out to the streets, whatever section of the city you're in or a community area, wherever you are. All the post-game coverage here on WIP, there's so much. Two things that stood out to me that we haven't mentioned yet. One, and I always love when this happens, the Empire State Building lit up last night in Eagles Green. It's a tradition they have. Yep. We would not support that if that was our building.
Oh, my God. No way.
We would not support that.
There would be legislation immediately to get that changed.
But, you know, they lean in that direction, and we benefited as Eagles fans last night seeing a New York landmark lit up in Eagles Green. So I love that. Here's the other
thing. Saquon probably enjoyed that a bit too.
Oh, my God. Here's the other one. I don't know how many people saw this, but this is unbelievable. After the game, Nick Foles went to Broad Street.
I saw. Can you imagine partying on Broad Street and just seeing Nick Foles walk by?
Think about being any number of the thousands, tens of thousands that were out there last night. And by the way, if you were one of them that saw Nick Foles, call us.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Because, I mean, that's wild. I mean, you're already on cloud nine celebrating the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl, and here's Foles just hanging out with you also? Unbelievable, man.
I saw the picture with him. I guess it was his wife.
His wife.
Tori, him and Tori.
She must be very tall, too.
I had the same thought. I was like, wow. She must be like
6'2".
Yeah, I had the same thought, John. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.